thing about Stephen is he meets, he's part of the congregation of Pathways Church, and they also meet in a community center. So it feels super awesome to have someone from a community center church. And actually, the community center church is Country Hills Community Center, and so just not too far from here. So, Stephen, we welcome you as a fellow community center worshiper, not worshiper of the community center, but yeah, there you go. And so Stephen is the Church and Community Relations Associate at MCC Ontario. He's been there since 2021. Stephen focuses on building and nurturing relationships between MCC and supporting churches. Stephen has lots of interests and sits on charity leadership roles and governance, and he serves on several churches and ministry boards. So he comes to us to share stories from his own life and from the way MCC impacts our global community. And so we're really delighted that you're here, Stephen. I'll invite you up. And I'll pray for you and we'll go. God, we're thankful for Stephen. God, we're thankful for the way that you have designed him. We're thankful, God, that he chooses to serve you by serving the global community and the local church. And would you be Stephen's refreshment on this day? Would you continue to give him wisdom and compassion and deep, deep hope that your love and your peace is that which changes the world? May we be attentive listeners this morning, and Holy Spirit, would you bring something to land in each one of us that will encourage us, and may we go forth then as encouragers. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Stephen.
This working. Well, good morning. Good to be here today. Click this. Anyway, happy Mother's Day. As Catherine mentioned earlier, I'm one of those folks that would identify as somebody who has lost their mother. My mom died 2 years ago, and we had a wonderful day of celebrating her life when she died, and we had such a good service, and then the time afterwards with family and friends just celebrating her life. She got to the age of 90, which was fantastic. That was her goal, and she passed on just a few months after her 90th birthday. So I want to say to you this morning, one of my interests is family tree history, and so I'm here to say that I am Stephen, the son of Margaret Clough, who is the daughter of Annie Hunter, who was the daughter of Annie Harvey, who was the daughter of Sarah Niven, who was the daughter of Ann Patton, who was the daughter of Jean Richmond, who was the daughter of Ann Tarbutt, who was the daughter of Elizabeth King. And that's as far as I get in my mother's 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 line. And Elizabeth King was my sixth great-grandmother in my maternal line. She married Hugh Tarbutt in 1766 in Irvine, Ayrshire, Scotland. And all these women, apart from my grandmother, were kind of south central Ayrshire, and my grandmother was born in Glasgow, where I was born, and ended up in Canada. So I come from a fantastic line of women that I'm very pleased to be able to share with you today in the way that I've just done, because it tells me that we stand in the footsteps of those who've gone before us. And as we celebrate mothers today, we think of grandmothers and great-grandmothers and all the generations past. So it's great to be with you this morning. As Catherine said, I attend Pathway Community Church. We meet at Country Hills Community Center, just fairly close to here. And we were, when we first went to Pathway about 13, 14 years ago, we were meeting at Pioneer Park Community Center, came up to Country Hills as Pioneer Park was renovated, and we stayed at Country Hills. And so being in a gym feels so normal. Putting out chairs, taking them down, putting up all the sound equipment, oh, it just is wonderful. So God bless you as you do that each Sunday. And one of the great things about churches like ours is we get to connect with the community centers and all that goes on and are part of that community. So that's the same for us at Country Hills and Pathway, and we just have a great relationship with the community center folks there, so it's good to have that connection. I'm here representing Mennonite Central Committee. Oh, we just disappeared there. I'll just say next slide and we'll forget the clicker. Let's go to the next one. Don't want that. Anyway, I'm here from Mennonite Central Committee, MCC. I've been working with MCC for about 3 years, connecting with churches and pastors and telling stories about MCC's work and helping local congregations engage in the work of MCC. And I do want to say thank you to the Gathering Church for your participation, your partnership in the work that is MCC. You've done a number of things over the years, given financially, made relief kits and school kits. You've helped to sponsor refugees. And, of course, you run the kettle corn stall at the relief sale. And that's just fantastic. And if you don't know, MCC is a global ministry of Anabaptist churches, including the home conference of this church, the Mennonite Church of Eastern Canada, and along with a number of others, giving expression to the love and compassion of God to all in the name of Christ as we respond to basic human needs and work for peace and justice. And MCC works in kind of three main buckets of area. Relief work, when there's been a natural disaster or disaster caused by conflict, MCC works with local partners to provide emergency humanitarian assistance. And this is where the term relief sale comes from, a sale designed to generate money to help in relief. MCC also works in long-term development in areas such as food, water, health, and education, working with local communities to in those kind of areas to make sure that people have a better life, and also working in peace and peace building. And this is central to all of MCC's work, that commitment to peace and justice and working in different ways around the world. And you see here on the slide, 45 different countries, almost 400 partners, 500 projects around the world. And that's where we are. Let's try this again. Okay. No, we got the wrong one. I'm just going to leave this. Leave it to the guys at the desk. It's not working for us. Our text this morning, we want to share a few thoughts from the scriptures and then we'll get into some stories. But here's the text. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. The New Living Translation puts it this way, so my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Isn't that a great verse?
Yes.
It's fantastic. Thank you. It's a great verse. It's a verse of encouragement and affirmation and one that I think we all of us can take to heart. It comes, you notice, it's verse 58, which means there's a whole long chapter that comes before this verse. And because of that, this last verse in this chapter is really an exhortation. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he's been writing about the resurrection of Jesus. And having done all that, he comes to the end of this chapter, and he makes the statement, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. I love being part of MCC, and I love hearing the stories about what MCC is doing around the world. And yet, the needs in our world are so great. There's so many disasters, so much suffering, so many conflicts. We only work in 45 different countries. Countries where we have partnerships and networks, and we have connections, and we have invitation to be part of what God is doing in those places. And there's so much more we could be doing, so much more need. And you get to wondering sometimes, are we really able to make a difference? I think sometimes we think about that in our own lives as believers. Are we really able to make a difference? Is our little church meeting Sunday after Sunday at Chandler Mowat Community Center really making much of a difference in this community and in the lives of the people who live in this community? And it's easy to be overcome by the problems and the needs we face. I think all of us want to be assured that we're making a difference. You probably heard the story, the starfish story, written a number of years ago by Lauren Isley. It's a poignant reminder that no matter how few we can always make a difference in the lives of people we connect with, even if it's only one. And the story goes like this. A girl was walking along the beach upon which hundreds of starfish had been washed up during a storm. And as she came to each starfish, she'd pick it up, throw it back into the water, walk along the beach, come to the next starfish and throw it back into the water. And people were watching her with interest and wondering, what is she doing? And a man came up to her and said, why are you doing this? You really can't make a difference. Look at all the starfish. You're not going to be able to put them all back in the sea. And having heard him, she was a little deflated and kind of discouraged. But after a few minutes thinking about it, she just went over, picked up the next starfish and threw it back into the ocean. And she said, well, I made a difference for that one. And the man, having heard her, kind of thought what she said and joined her. He too picked up a starfish and threw it back into the water. And because of all this, the starfish on the beach, lots of people had gathered to see what was going on, and they too joined in. And soon the beach was cleared, and all the starfish were back in the ocean. And here Paul is encouraging these believers in Corinth to be fixed in purpose, to give themselves fully to God's work, to know that their efforts in his work are not in vain. And I want to encourage you, to remind you that your work and service for the Lord are of incredible value and are not a waste of time or effort on your part. Paul begins, he addresses these believers, brothers and sisters, to get the sense of connection and family, and he says, let nothing move you. Two words here are two phrases. The first one, stand firm or steadfast, has the sense of being seated, being securely positioned, not moving, not giving to veering off course. It's a word that's used metaphorically of those who are fixed in purpose. If you came by car this morning, you probably got in and put on your seatbelt. That's designed to keep you in place as you drive. And if you're in an accident, it tightens and holds you in place. I think a better description or better image of what Paul is thinking about here is the cockpit of a Formula One racing car. I've never driven one. I've seen one in real life. It was in a store window somewhere. But each driver has an insert made to fit their body shape. It's put into the car, so when they get in, it's molded tightly around their body shape. And unlike us, when we sit in our cars, it's more, you know, at right angles. Formula One drivers are more lying in the cockpit of their car. So if they are traveling at the great speeds they go at, experiencing the G-forces, this insert keeps them firmly in place. That's why if you see an accident, it takes a little while for the driver to get out. There's a harness, they've got to get the steering wheel off, and they've got to climb out of this cockpit, which is fairly tight around their body. The driver is held in place. And Paul is saying, be firmly held in place in terms of your purpose. There's a second word here translated stand firm or immovable, which has a sense of being without movement or change of status. My wife loves lighthouses. And if you were to come to our home, you'd see in our family room images, pictures, ornaments, all reflecting the theme of lighthouses. And we have a picture of a lighthouse in a storm. It's at the end of a promontory, of a rocky promontory. The storm is howling, the winds are crashing against it. And you get the sense from this picture that this lighthouse is not going anywhere. It's standing firm and steadfast. And despite the wind and the rain and the storm, it's not going to be moved. And I think these two words together give the sense of stable purpose, something that's not easily disturbed or moved off course. And this is what Paul's desire is for these believers, to be focused on what they are doing, to have a commitment to what God is calling them. And then he moves on and he says, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Other translations have it, work enthusiastically for the Lord, or always abound in the work of the Lord, or always excel in the work of the Lord. And the scripture has a sense of being over and above, of abundance or surplus, exceeding the expected measure. Give more than you need to. Give everything you have. And Paul is speaking of their participation in God's work. Give everything you have to what God is doing. Don't hold back on what God is calling you to and what God wants you to be involved in. But what is this phrase, in the work of the Lord? What is Paul thinking about? Is he thinking about just the activity of the local church? Or does he have in mind something broader? I think Paul is thinking about life in its fullness. God's work is more than just the work that goes on in the life of a local church. God is pictured in the Bible as a worker. And he makes, he creates, he brings the universe, the earth and the heavens into being by the power of his word. And God is always at work in the lives of his people and even outside in the affairs of the nations. And Paul Stevens, a former professor at Regent College in Vancouver, wrote a book called The Other 6 Days, Work, Vocation, and Ministry in Biblical Perspective. And in that book, he tells us how God is a God at work. And his work includes fabricating work, maintaining work, love work, restorative work, gospel work, leading work, and so much more. And God's work is much broader than just simply the life of a group of believers. And I think we can imagine every human, legitimate human occupation being in some ways an expression of God's work. God calls his people into service to be salt and light. And so to be involved in the work of God, I think, is much broader than simply the life that revolves around a local church like this one. It includes our paid employment work, our volunteer work, as well as the life of the church. So giving ourselves fully to God's work means to give ourselves fully to what God is calling us into, no matter where that might be. And the key phrase might be, in the Lord. This gets to the motivation that whatever we're doing, is it for us? Is it selfish motivation that drives us into something? Or is it something more? However expensive the work of the Lord is, Paul wants to encourage them that their work is not in vain. It's not a waste of time or energy on their part. It has meaning, it has effectiveness, it has fruit. And the reason for this is of what comes in the 56 verses before this one. This is a chapter on resurrection. And Paul describes for his readers the fact of the death and resurrection of Jesus. He assures them that they too, and the day that is to come when Christ will come again, they also will be raised to new life. And the immediately preceding verses call for thanks to be given to God because he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory over death, victory over sin, all because of Jesus having risen from the dead. Verse 55 says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that victory secured on the cross and in the resurrection of Jesus that we just celebrated a few weeks ago at Easter, because of the fact that Jesus is risen from the dead and is now ascended to the Father on high, Paul can then say, so because of that, brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to what God is doing because Jesus has secured for us the victory over sin and death. And this gives us hope, and this gives us encouragement to keep going, to keep working for him, to keep doing what he has called us to do, to keep encouraging us. As I think about the work of MCC, I'm encouraged by this verse because it gives me encouragement to keep going, to keep celebrating, to keep working for what God is doing through the work of MCC. And I just, in the next few moments, want to share just a few stories from around the world of MCC that will encourage you in what your support for MCC, the fact that you sell corn at the relief sale and the money raised helps fund projects around the world. And here's some of the examples of what God is doing. Let's go to the next slide. This is Yana. With her daughter, who's 4 years old. She's standing outside her home, which you can see is partially damaged. She's in just outside the city of Nikopol in Ukraine. And the house has been damaged in the conflict that has been raging there in that country over the last over 2 years following the Russian military invasion in February of 2022. And Yana, like many in Ukraine, has suffered. Her home has been damaged, and yet they've stayed in place. And you see, they have comforters, these handmade blankets that many groups around Ontario and indeed across the country make for MCC and are given out as part of MCC's relief work. And Yana is holding hers under her arm, and her daughter has the comforter wrapped around her, which gives a sense of what this item really does. It brings comfort as well as warmth and a message of hope. Last year, MCC shipped over almost 60,000 comforters like this to places such as Ukraine and Syria and Zambia and Malawi and many more. An MCC partner, New Life Charitable Fund, is providing support and relief supplies for people in the Nikopol area. And they're one of 13 partners across Ukraine, supported by MCC, providing humanitarian assistance for people caught in conflict and impacting families like Yana's. And as a mother struggling to survive in the reality of living in a war zone. So pray for people like Yana, caught up in conflict, trying to make ends meet, trying to survive, trying to make a life for themselves. Let's go to the next slide. MCC's also work is also helping people like Selena Paolo at her farm in Tanzania. And she's a mother of five and recently participated in a food security project implemented by MCC partner Growing Hope Globally. This is a project aimed at rural poor families, mainly from the Datoga ethnic group. And Selena joined the project in 2021, received a number of training sessions related to agriculture and animal husbandry. And she was given supplies to help her begin to develop a flock of chickens. She was given initially three chickens and one rooster, and with good management, grew that flock to 80 birds. And she was able to sell some of those birds in the marketplace and gain some income for her and her family. And because of that income, paying for necessities like cooking oil and kerosene for lighting became so much easier. But Selena went on in the project and used some of the money she earned from selling chickens to buy goats. You're looking at the slide and thinking, that's one strange-looking chicken. But it's a goat. So she's able to buy goats and beginning to develop a small herd of goats. And of course, goats have higher value in the marketplace, as well as providing meat for her and her family. All because of an MCC partner helping her and her family in the issue of food security. And her family's long-term goals include being able to build a permanent brick house with a metal roof and educating their children up to university level. Things that we might take for granted here, but for so many around the world, are just but dreams. So a mother working hard to provide security and a future for her family. Let's go to the next slide. This is Sorna Hembron, and she's in a uniform, a nurse's uniform. She's in Bangladesh. And because of Sorna's mother's commitment to ensuring that Sorna had a future, Sorna was able to enter a nursing training program at the Lam Nursing Institute in Bangladesh. Her father died a number of years ago, and because of that, Sorna and her two younger brothers had to go and find work. Initially, Sorna went to Dhaka, the capital of Bangladesh, sought work in the garment industry, but was called back before her father passed away. And after that, she stayed with her family and began to work in the fields along with her brothers. But she passed the high school leavers exam. She was ready for something more at college level. But the family didn't have the money for the education. And so Sorna's mother made a commitment to Sorna to help her get the education she needed to be a nurse. And so gathered some resources, borrowed some money from friends and family, sold some of their livestock, and allowed Sorna to write the entrance exam for the nursing program. An MCC partner, the Lam Institute, is now helping Sorna with helping her with her tuition so she can finish her training. The commitment of a mother to ensuring her kids have a brighter, better future than she has, and pushing her and making provisions so that Sorna could succeed. And because of that commitment of her mother, Sorna's future is brighter than it was before. And she's looking forward to graduating from the nursing program and being able to provide income to support not only herself, but also her family. Let's go to the next slide. Pictured here is Colette Kuyuma. She's 60 years old, and she's the president of the Women's Situation Room in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And she gathered amongst a number of participants telling stories of how they have used the training they received through an MCC partner, the Community of Mennonite Brethren Churches of Congo, training on conflict resolution to resolve disputes in their community. And this MCC partner has run these training modules to Women's Situation Room, equipping these women with the skills and knowledge to resolve conflict and promote peace. And they've done workshops and community sensitization projects, and these women are now equipped to deal with peace building at the grassroots level. And sometimes local law enforcement agencies call on these ladies to help. For example, last year in October, police from the eastern town of Minova in South Kivu province invited three women from this group and representatives of two other peace groups to meet with leaders of opposing armed groups. And violence between these groups had risen to such a level that some of the roads in and out of this particular area had been blocked. And together, these peacemakers worked with these armed groups and resolved some of the issues. The fighting stopped, and the roads were reopened. Being a member of the Women's Situation Room empowers women, says Jacob Sankara, MCC's peace-building coordinator, as these women have gained confidence and experience in resolving conflicts and speaking in public. Some women have now been elected into local government where they're making a difference. In Kikwit, women are getting involved in mentoring teen girls and others and providing a safe place for displaced women, encouraging them to register complaints against field owners who sexually exploit them in exchange for food. Not every conflict can be resolved, but sometimes it takes the gentle urging of opposing sides towards reconciliation. However, many issues have been resolved, and that gives them encouragement to keep going. And what it illustrates is the power and the influence of women building peace, not only in their families, but also in their wider communities. Next slide. And of course, here in Ontario, MCC works in one of the ways in which women, not only women, but I've been to lots of sewing groups, and there's some men there as present, but got to say the most of the sewing group participants are women making quilts and comforters for MCC's work around the world. Quilts to be sold at the relief sale, the quilt auction, coming up just in a couple of weeks, and comforters, as you've already seen, being distributed around the world. And these beautiful handmade items provide a clear message of hope and care to people at a time when they need it most. Next slide. Talking of the release sale coming up in a couple of weeks. And if you're not volunteering to look after kettle corn, come along anyway and have a fantastic time. We're hoping and praying for a great weather window for that weekend. But come along, enjoy lots of food items, participate in the sales. Not only the quilt auction, but the other auctions that provide a whole host of items for you to bid on. So it's a great event, great family event, and we look forward to a good day in a couple of weeks. Next slide. Meat canning has been part of MCC's work for many, many years. And one of the things that happened each spring in Ontario before pandemic was the mobile meat canner would come to Leamington, then southwestern Ontario, and then spend a week in Elmira. During pandemic, the canner was not able to do that. And as the pandemic kind of moved into the past, other issues came to the fore that really prevented the canner from crossing the border. So the question was what to do. Providing canned food, canned meat has been one of MCC's ways of helping people who are caught up in disasters around the world, and the decision was made to build a permanent canning facility here in Ontario. So that project is going ahead. And of last week, construction began on a permanent canning facility at MCC's warehouse in New Hamburg. And hopefully by early fall, that construction will have been completed, and we can then begin to move to can poultry meat, chicken and turkey, here in Ontario to be then used around the world for MCC's relief work. And that's going to give another opportunity for church groups to come and volunteer and help can meat. When the canner came to Elmira, lots of churches in this area sent people to participate in the week-long canning activity, and that was just a fantastic experience. But now with a permanent cannery, there's going to be opportunity for church groups to come probably year-round and can meat. And we're working on a number of options in terms of supply for the meat. Somebody asked me a couple of weeks ago, will I have to cut off chicken heads and chicken feet? No. The meat will be processed before being delivered and cooked and put into cans. So that's a fantastic project that's happening just right on our doorstep, and we're really encouraged with that project going on. Next slide. So I hope these stories give you an idea of what is going on around the world. And I've tried to pick up some stories this morning that really feature the influence and the impact of mothers, of women, who are making a difference in the lives of their families around the world, supported by the work of Mennonite Central Committee. And that only happens because of the support of churches like this. Lots of ways for you to get involved in MCC as a church. You're already doing that, but there's some options here on the screen. And one of the ways I'd encourage you is to sign up for our monthly newsletter called In Touch. You can go on to our website, mcc.org. Scroll down to the bottom, find the linkage to take you to signing on for our monthly newsletter. And that'll give you a monthly digest of stories and information about MCC's work around the world. Next slide. But MCC only happens because of the strong support of individuals and of churches like this one. And so as we've looked at that work around the world, I hope you're encouraged. But take this message of encouragement back to the work you do here. In this verse that we've thought about this morning, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You know, sometimes you can come to church and get really discouraged because you think, well, there's not many of us here. What difference can we really make? And yet the scripture reminds us that this work that we do is not in vain. It has an impact in the lives of people. So I want to encourage you this morning, as you continue to meet here at Chandler Mowat Community Center week by week, and as you're involved in the life of the center and in this community, that your labor in the Lord, your work in the Lord, your service, your volunteer hours have value. They're not done in vain, because they're done in the name of Jesus, and we leave it up to him to produce a harvest. And the picture we saw earlier of the little boy with the gift behind his back, even that should be of an encouragement to us this morning, to know that the work that we do has impact. And you think about the gifts being given this morning through that action of somebody crocheting face washcloths and then giving out, and kids giving them to their moms this morning. It has an impact. It has value. And so be encouraged this morning, folks at the Gathering Church, because your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And so as I finish, let me pray with you before we move on. Lord God, your word tells us that our work in you is not in vain. So we pray that you would help us stand firm and steady in our faith. Help us trust in you, to abound in your work wherever you have called us to live and work. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, our risen Savior, who gives us the victory over sin and death. Amen.
Amen. If you would like to, please join us. Stand together.